And finally, this hour, she was born Svetlana Stalina in Moscow, 1926, the only daughter of Soviet Premier Joseph Stalin. Stalina would change her name twice in an effort to escape her father's legacy. Last week, she died Lana Peters at the age of 85 in a small town in rural Wisconsin. It was there that she finally found a community that respected her privacy, as Gil Halstead of Wisconsin Public Radio reports.
Lana Peters lived her last years in Richland Center, a small town of 5,000, 50 miles west of Madison. She arrived there in 1970, just 3 years after her tumultuous defection from the Soviet Union. In 1967, she had traveled to India to return her then-husband's ashes and gave her handlers the slip, turning up at the American embassy. Once in the U.S., she denounced the Soviet regime and called her father a moral and spiritual monster. She was invited to Wisconsin by Frank Lloyd Wright's Russian wife, Olga Ivanovna, and soon met and married Wesley Peters, one of Wright's apprentices. The marriage only lasted 3 years, and in 1984 she returned to Russia as Lana Peters and denounced the United States, claiming she had never felt free here. But then she redefected only 2 years later and was soon back in Wisconsin. She made a few close friends in Richland Center, including bookstore owner Jody Husmanic. Peters didn't tell her friend she was Stalin's daughter until she gave her a book she'd written that was a collection of her letters.
And I called her. And I said, Lana, you're Svetlana. And she started laughing. And I said, I had no idea. So it just kind of became a joke between us.
The two spent time sitting on the banks of the Wisconsin River watching birds. Husmanic says that love of birds was constant in Peter's waning years and was one of the reasons she moved from a subsidized elderly housing unit into a nursing home.
She didn't last very long there because they wouldn't allow the residents to have bird feeders outside their window, and she just was not going to live with that.
Before finally settling in Richland Center, Peters also lived in England, but rural Wisconsin seems to be the only place she could really avoid being hounded by reporters asking her about her notorious father. Glenn Dunn, who works at a small sign-making factory in Richland Center, remembers meeting her by chance at the local library when she was looking for someone to program her voicemail to discourage annoying calls from the press.
I recorded her answering machine message, but I did it in sort of a gruff voice. I said, yeah, this is 647-1234. You leave your name and number, I'll be back to you. She really enjoyed, you know, hearing that. It would really throw off whoever was trying to call her.
She strenuously guarded her privacy. 2 years ago, Peters told a reporter from the Wisconsin State Journal who did track her down that no matter where she lived, she would always be a political prisoner of the Stalin name. For NPR News, I'm Gil Halstead in Madison.
Our program is directed by Brendan Banaszak, edited by Corey Turner and Allison McAdam, and produced by Matt Martinez. The technical director is Stu Rushfield. The engineering supervisor is Robert Jackson.
Our planning editors are Jerry Holmes and Julia Buckley. The staff includes Graham Smith, Franklin Cater, Gabe O'Connor, Janae West, Carol Klinger, Viet Le, Jennifer Longmire-Wright, and Rhonda Ray.
Our executive producer is Christopher Turpin. The managing editor for NPR News is David Sweeney. I'm Guy Raz.
And I'm Melissa Block. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.